Do we have any more booklets? If you need a booklet that we've been looking at the last 3 weeks, would you just lift your hand and we'll try to get you one? Probably quite a few of you already have one, but if you need one, they will come to you. Just leave your hand up, and we will be completing at least our brief study of finding God's will, looking for the will of God in your life. Just to review, the first week we looked at some categories of God's will. When we think of something that is a hardship or a natural disaster, or maybe even something like a shooting or a terrorist attack, and we ask the question, well, is this God's will? And we'd have to answer, well, it maybe depends. If someone is committing sin, like a shooting, for instance, well, that is not God's will. That they're breaking God's law. They're committing murder. On the other hand, we would say that, well, it does fit in to God's sovereign will, because nothing is outside of God's control. And so so it's helpful to look at some categories of God's will. God's sovereign will, that God is in control of all things. Secondly, God's moral will. This is God's desire for all people, revealed in His Word, of how we should live, what we should do. And then third, we looked at God's specific will for our lives. That God has a will for you. And He reveals that to us as we seek His will in the major decisions of life. And so that's mainly been our focus, is looking at when we're making major decisions, how do we know that this is what God wants? We notice some misunderstandings about God's will, and some things, maybe some phrases that maybe we even use as Christians, or maybe even take some scriptures out of context, but making sure that we clearly understand God's word. And so we look through some of those, and we won't have time to review those statements, but notice some of those things. And part of the reasons why these things are wrong, because we can't shortcut what God has already revealed to us. And so I think this mom will be okay. I think she will be found. And so we're looking for God's will and not shortcutting, saying, well, I just have peace about this, but we haven't read the Bible. We haven't followed some important steps that we'll be looking at tonight. Last week was a very important lesson we entitled Prerequisites to God's Will. And I just want to do a quick review. If you weren't here last week, I will put these on the screen here just for your sake. As we think about prerequisite, a prerequisite is a condition that needs to be met beforehand. And so before you are looking to follow God's will in an area of life that is not clearly revealed in Scripture, for instance, I have an opportunity to take this job, but I'll have to move away. Should I do that? Or I'm a student planning to enroll in university, but what path should I take? What career should I pursue? Or I've been dating a particular person, but should I go the step further in considering marriage? Is this God's will? Well, before we're even ready to ask a question like that, we need to make sure that we're already following what God has revealed to us. And so we looked at several places in Scripture where the phrase "will of God" is already given to us. And these are some conditions that we should be following the Lord, what we already know, before we're then stepping out into something that we don't know. And so we listed last week five specifically revealed wills for for our lives that God has revealed. First of all, you must be saved. God leads those who belong to Him. God leads His children. The shepherd leads His sheep. Do you belong to the Lord? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? If you're not following Christ, if you haven't given your life to Him, well, you're not ready to follow His will. This is the first step. And so you must be saved. Secondly, and last week we looked at many scriptures with each of these. Secondly, you must be submissive. God leads those who submit to authority. So the Bible talks about different authorities, government for children, their parents, other authorities in our lives that God has ordained. And it is the will of God that we submit to them. So if you're not submitting to the authorities that God has already placed in your life, you're not ready to seek His will in something that God has not yet revealed to you. Third, you must be sanctified. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God leads those who protect their purity. Sanctified refers to being set apart. That's God's will for His people, that we be set apart, that we be pure. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 4 about being holy. God has called us to holiness, not to uncleanness. We need to be pursuing that holiness, not a part of the world's values, especially when it comes to sexuality and many other things. We are called to be holy. If you're not living a holy life, which God has clearly revealed to us, you're not ready to seek God's will in a career path or regarding marriage. You're not even following God's will that He's already revealed to you. You must be sanctified. Number four, you must be Spirit-filled. And we saw last week that there's nothing really spooky about the Holy Spirit's leading, that it is God's Word that leads us. And we'll look more at that tonight. But God leads those who are controlled by His Word. We saw last week that Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit. And the parallel passage in Colossians says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then both of those commands yield the exact same results. How are you filled with the Spirit? Well, it is the Word of Christ dwelling richly in you. As a believer, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And as you submit your life to His Word, that is what it means to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then fifth, we looked at being sound of mind. God leads those who have true wisdom. And we even looked at Proverbs chapter 2 that talks about pursuing wisdom as hidden treasure, that the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And so God has given us a mind. God is training us in wisdom so that as we have opportunities, that with the wisdom God gives, we will be able to make choices that please Him. So those are some prerequisites to following God's will. But now we come to this. I know I'm following God's will for my life right now, what God has already revealed to me, but how can I know the next step? Should I take this career path? Should I make this move? Should I marry this person? Should I buy this home at this part of the city? These are some major decisions. How do I know if this is what God wants me to do? And sometimes it can be confusing, kind of like this part. I don't know if you can see this, but this is actually a street and all you can see is one-way signs pointing all kinds of different directions. How do you know where to turn? Am I supposed to turn? Which way should I go? It's kind of confusing. So what should I do? So we'll put it this way. Once you are saved, submissive, sanctified, Spirit-filled, and sound of mind, and again, not to say that we're complete in all of these, but these are part of our lives. We're pursuing these things in our lives. You are then ready to follow these next six steps. So these are the steps when we could say the subjective following of God's will. You're not going to find the city that you should move to, unless you're planning to move to Jerusalem, maybe, or something like that. Probably it's not going to be in the Bible. I don't think any cities in Canada are in the Bible. And so it's not going to tell us. Again, probably not going to reveal who you are to marry, even if you are dating someone with a name that's in the Bible. That's not going to help you. And so you're wanting to know, this is a major decision. How do I know if this is what God wants me to do? And so there may be some other steps that could be applied, but I want to give you at least six practical steps that I think will be helpful to you, that I know that I've used in my life, that we as a family have practiced, as God has given us opportunities, and we've had to wrestle through, is this what God wants us to do? Here's the first step. You probably could have guessed it. Communicate in prayer. This is the first step whenever we make a decision. And really for the Christian, it's not so much a step as it should be a regular part of our lives. We should be regularly in prayer. God's people are the people of prayer. We are the house of God. And Jesus even talked about my Father's house should be a house of prayer. So God's people gather to prayer. Of course, we do that as a church. We do that Sunday morning at 9:00. We do that on Wednesday night. I hope you make that a priority if you're able to, because that's what God's people do. They pray. They pray together. And individually, we are praying. If you're a married couple, let me encourage you to pray daily together. Maybe when you get up in the morning, or maybe before you go to bed at night, or maybe both. Do you as a family pray together other than before a meal? Well, I hope so. And if not, let me encourage you to do so. Prayer is a regular part of our lives. And so, especially when we're seeking God's will for a major decision, we should bring that to the Lord in prayer. We're asking for His direction, and so we pray about it. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is instructing, saying, I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we're wanting the Holy Spirit to lead us. Well, then we pray. We ask. We seek, and He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us more than any earthly parent. He wants the very best for our lives. And so we communicate in prayer. So that's the first step. Again, we could give a whole message on the importance of prayer. But let me encourage you. Pray. Sometimes God presents us, I believe that God presents us with a crisis, with a decision to make. And maybe we don't end up making that decision, but just the decision-making process brings us closer to the Lord, because we spend much concentrated time in prayer. And that, of course, is a good thing. And that stretches us and pushes us into our spiritual growth. So this is the first step, not that we move on past the first step, but that we're continually seeking the Lord's will by praying about it. Secondly, I put it this way, consider the options. Consider the options. This is just a practical step that we're going to see how we'll use that in the next step. But what we're doing simply is considering now, okay, here's an opportunity. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has given us a mind that He wants us to use. We don't have to fear things, but we can think things through. We talked about wisdom last week, and that's the idea, applying biblical wisdom. Wisdom is making decisions that please God. So a sound mind that God has given us. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, do you? Probably we say, but I don't know what to do. And of course, the context of this is the verses right before. What is James saying? He's talking about trials. Count it joy when you fall into various trials. And the trying of your faith produces endurance. And endurance has its perfecting work in us that we may be complete and mature, lacking nothing. So we say, okay, this is kind of a trial. I don't know what to do. What decision should I make? Well, in the context, what do? We don't know what to do. We need wisdom. So if any of you lacks wisdom, James says, ask of God, who gives to all liberally, generously, and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The thing is, God wants us to acknowledge that we're not wise. He wants us to come before Him. He's not going to rebuke you. No, He welcomes it. He will give His wisdom generously. And so we pray, asking for wisdom as we consider the options. Now, here's just something very practical that you could do. Let's say you have a choice. Let's say it is. Let's say you're working for a job that's a national company. And you are asked to make a job transfer, to move to another province somewhere, and to take this job. So let's say you have the choice. They say, and you're welcome to stay here, but this is a promotion. So you kind of have two choices, stay or take this new job. And so practically, you could take choice one, choice two. What are the good things about this? What if we stayed? What would be the pros of staying? And so maybe you list those things. Maybe you have family here. Maybe that's a pro. Maybe hopefully you're in a good church already. That's a pro. You could list these various things, and then you could list the cons, and then you could do the new choice. What are the pros? What are the cons? And this is very practical because some of the things, for instance, you're in a good church, but what if we move there? Is there a good church? Well, that could be a pro, but maybe you don't know yet. So as you consider the options, you're going to have to do some research. Now, it's easier today because you can have the internet and things. There's a couple that have been coming to Meadowlands over the last couple of weeks. And months before, they were listening to sermons of Meadowlands Baptist Church over the internet. And so as they moved several provinces over to come here, they were already considered those options, and the Lord was leading them. So you can do that. So it doesn't mean, well, I can't ever move because I'm in a good church. That may be, maybe there's a good church that needs you, and God is leading you there. The job thing is really what God's interested is you going to help this church. But you need to know that. And so you consider these options. And so just taking some time with a piece of paper and putting down the pros and the cons. If you're married, you're talking about these things with your spouse. If you have children, maybe you're discussing with them. And this is going to be very helpful for you as you're researching. God is expecting you to do some work, to consider these options. And as you do that, you're also then able to prioritize. So let's say this job that moving away, you're going to be making more money. Is that a pro or a con? Well, it probably at least starts out as a pro, right? Okay, well, that would be good. But as you consider things, is that at the very top of the list of pros? Well, if it is, then that's probably not a good reason. In fact, Jesus warns us about being covetous. So again, getting a job promotion, nothing wrong with that. That may be actually God using that to move us where he wants us. But we need to prioritize things. And I've known families who move because, oh, we're going to make more money. And so what? So they move away and they don't have a good church and their family is not thriving spiritually, but they're making more money. What a mixed up priorities. And I've known of people that have moved away and then a year later or so, they move back. Because making some more money wasn't really a pro at all for them. And so this helps you think things through and think what you have. And maybe there's three choices. Maybe there's multiple choices. So think through these things, because the next step is going to be very important with what you've done. You've done your research. You have a list of pros and cons. Now you're going to compare with Scripture. You're going to look at what Scripture has to say about these things, about the importance of the local church, about your family, about how this decision will help yourself spiritually. You'll be looking up, what does the Scripture say about money and how important should this be? And so all kinds of things. Now that you have this list, you have something to be thinking through biblically. We must be biblically minded followers of Christ. And so we're comparing with Scripture. So a very important step. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So then we have this list, and now we're taking the light of God's word and we're shining it on this list. And it's going to help us to say, oh, actually, this isn't a pro at all. Or, yeah, this is a pro, but this should be down the list. This is what should be number one on the list. And it helps you to rearrange this list according to how God sees this. Because after all, we're seeking God's will. And so this is a very important, kind of a practical step that will help you as we're seeking God's wisdom. As we think about the Scriptures, they are our guiding. We mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago, where you may hear someone say, well, God told me to go here. Well, how did God tell you? Well, we can know if God tells us through the precepts and principles of God's Word. Do you want to know God's will? Read His Word. Do you want to hear the voice of God? Someone has said, then read God's word out loud. Okay? If you want to hear God speak out loud, read the Bible out loud. That's how God will speak to you. But if you have an impression or a feeling, is that God's will? Maybe. Could it not be God's will? Maybe. How do you know? How do you know? Well, it was really strong impression that I got. So how do you know it was really God? So we compare it with God's word. What principles apply? So God can use thoughts that pop into our head. But don't you ever have weird thoughts pop in your head? Do you want to attribute every thought that pops in your head to God's leading? Could God use a dream? God could use anything. Do you have weird dreams? You want to follow your dreams? Man, I don't want to follow my wife's dreams. She has weird dreams, okay? And I never remember my dreams, or rarely do. But No, we don't want to follow those weird, bizarre things that happen in dreams. So again, God can use, you hear something, God can use all kinds of things. So we don't want to discount how God can use circumstances. Someone could say something to you and you think, man, I never really thought about that. And, you know, maybe God's using that to lead me. Well, maybe God is. So, not to say that God isn't, but then what do? We take that and we apply to the principles of God's Word and let God's Word be leading us. And so we're applying it. So there's that chart again. We're taking these principles and we're applying it to our list of pros and cons. And we're adjusting our list in light of God's Word. So compare with Scripture. This is a very important step. Now, this next step is going to even help us. Consult godly counselors. Consult godly counselors. Now, here's something that godly counselors will do. They'll look for at your, what's great to do and is go to your godly counselor with your little list that you've made up and say, hey, I just wanted to talk to you. I trust you as a good godly friend. Here's the opportunity. My boss came to me and said, we'd like to promote you. We need a manager, and it's a move, but you'd be great for the job. Would you consider this? And I have to make a decision by the end of the month. And so we've talked about this, and here are some things to consider. And so your godly counselor can say, oh, this is really good. And as they're asking questions, okay, yeah, I've checked that out. Maybe they'll ask some questions that you didn't think to put on your list. You can say, oh, that's a really good question. I need to ask about that. I need to check on that. Your counselor will bring up scriptures that you didn't think of. And you'll say, oh, boy, I didn't think about that principle from Scripture. Boy, that's really good. I need to consider that. So you can ask godly counselors. Now, your godly counselors may not all be in agreement if whether or not you should make this decision. In fact, probably most of your counselors aren't going to definitively tell you. In fact, you maybe want them to, but they probably aren't. You know, it's rare that if someone comes to me and I'm going to say, yep, take the job. Or, no, don't take the job, unless it clearly is violating a biblical principle. Or if I say, boy, I just don't think this would be good for your family at this time, and here are some biblical reasons why. But a lot of times, the biblical counselor isn't going to tell you what choice to make, but they're going to give you further scriptures to compare. They're going to be in a neutral situation as well. You may be really excited about one decision as opposed to the other. And so you'll have someone who's not as emotionally involved. This would for sure happen when you're considering marriage. And you may be head over heels about someone. But you go to a trusted counselor and say, hey, I've been dating this person, or I've got to know this person, maybe even at church or wherever. But I want your thoughts. What do you think? And this person will say, well, what about this? Is this person a Christian? This person serving the Lord? Have you talked about values? Do you share the same heart for God? And they'll be asking you some questions about that. And you'll think, oh, that's a good question. Or, oh, yeah, this is the case. And so a lot of the biblical principles, your godly counselors are going to help you. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so if, let's say you have a choice, and as you go, let's say you go to three or four counselors, and all of your counselors say, you know, I think either of these choices would be good. But you need to consider this. You need to ask this question. Well, that helps you to know, okay, well, there's some there's some affirmation here that I could make this decision and it would be at least in line with God's word. And as far as my counselors, they're helping me. Maybe if you have some counselors that are saying, boy, I warn you against going this way, or I wouldn't say you would be in sin if you did this, but I don't know that I can just say I encourage you this way. Well, that's a red flag, right? For you to say, wow, I need to spend some more time in prayer. I need to seek God's word. I really need to evaluate this. Whereas if you have a bunch of Christian counselors that say, what a great decision, then you can say, that will help you. So getting godly counsel. So this is godly counsel. This isn't just, you know, a couple friends that just want to tell you what you want to hear, or those that maybe don't really know God's word very well. You're actually looking for counselors that probably know God's word better than you know, that are wiser than you. And so you may have a mix. You may have a mix of some counselors that are more peers and a mix of some olders. If you are a young person that has Christian parents, they are your counselors. They are primary counselors for you. If you're a teenager who has Christian parents, there's no one that loves you more than your parents do. They want God's best for your life. And if they know God's word, they are great counselors. But you may have others as well. And that's one reason why it's so important to, I mean, you're here on a Sunday night, so I'm preaching to the choir here, but to be a part of a community of believers, to be a part of the church. Because if you don't have a community of wise counselors, where are you going to get this wise counsel from? But if you know a good group of people, what a blessing that can be in seeking God's will. So see how these work together? You're evaluating, you're researching, you're getting all the facts. You're asking good questions, then you're comparing all of this research with the scriptures, and then you're going to godly counsel to get more scripture, to get more wisdom, all the while praying that the Lord would show you His will, that would even help your counselors, and of course you're recruiting other people to pray. And that's a great thing. This happens a lot of times on a Wednesday where we gather together and someone will say, hey, would you pray for me? This is a decision I have to make. Pray with me about that. And that happens. And oftentimes a week later, someone will say, I've been praying for you about this. Have you made a decision yet? And so that's what we as a body do for one another. So consult godly counselors. This is so important. Now, here's a fifth step, maybe would surprise you. Conclude with your desires. Now, I put the word conclude deliberately, not just because it started with a C, and I was running short on words that started with the C to put in here. What I mean by that is God does give you desires. We're going to look at a scripture in just a moment. So maybe what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago of, oh, I just have this peace, or I have this impression, or I have this desire. Actually, God very likely will use those desires, but not after all of the prerequisites, not after you've gone through all these steps. So that's why I put conclude with your desires. This is at the very end. This is God's working in your own heart, but not as a shortcut. Hey, this is what I want, so I do it. No, this is a very final step, even though we have one more step left. But conclude with your desires. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 4. We read this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You see the order there? Delight yourself in the Lord. So this is someone who's saved. This is someone who's submissive. This is someone who's being set apart. They're sanctified. This is someone who is seeking the Lord's will in their life every day. They're delighting themselves in the Lord. And what does the Lord do? When we delight in the Lord, when we treasure the Lord, when we have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, you know what happens? God changes us. You know, if you have a friendship with someone, they have an impact on your life. That's why Proverbs talks about, if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Why? Because the relationships that you have change you for the good or for the bad. Well, what's the most dramatic changing relationship? Well, it's a relationship with the Lord. So if we delight in the Lord, He's going to change us. And you know what He does? He changes our desires. So it's not so much that I have a desire and then I delight in the Lord and He gives me what I desire. You know what happens? The more I delight in the Lord, the more He changes my desires to be in line with His desires. For instance, 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, if a man desires the office of a pastor, he desires a good work. Well, there's a desire. So for someone I guess I could give a personal testimony to say that as the Lord gave me ministry opportunities, I thought, you know, maybe God wants me to be a pastor. And I didn't think that that was a desire from Satan. I didn't think that was a selfish desire because my dad was a pastor. And I saw that it wasn't all glory and fame and fortune. I think I had a realistic and I thought, well, if I have this desire, maybe that's the Lord. Maybe I should pursue that desire. So there's nothing wrong with having a desire. Sometimes we think, you know, if I give my life to the Lord, He's going to make me do something I don't want to do. I think that was even one of our misunderstandings. If I give my life to God, He'll make me be a missionary in some country where it's going to be really weird and I'll have to eat food that I don't like, and it's going to be miserable. But you know, all the missionaries I know, and I know dozens and dozens of them, they're the happiest people I know. Well, what has happened? Well, the Lord has given them the desire of their heart, but He's changed their desire. You know, Pastor Jim, who is the former pastor here, many of you know him, he called me up in 2007. I had never met him, never even heard of him. I don't even know if I had ever heard of Edmonton, to be honest with you. I hate to admit that, but, you know, I was one of those who's like, what is that? Where is that? And Pastor Jim told me a little bit about the church and said, would you consider coming here? I had never been to Canada before. And, I didn't necessarily have a desire. I knew there was snow up here, and I didn't mind the snow too much. But didn't know a whole lot. Well, what happened? Well, as my wife Holly and I began to pray about this, maybe God was leading us. It was kind of strange. We've never even heard of this church. We don't even know this pastor. And then we visited and, well, we visited and within just a short time during our visit, we were like, I hope we get to move here. Well, what was that? It was God doing work. We just wanted to follow the Lord. We had lived in Lithuania. We were willing to go wherever the Lord wanted us. We didn't care what it was, but God gave us a desire. And we thought, well, here's an opportunity. We have this desire we never had before. We got a lot of counsel. We were seeking God's direction. And so God was giving us the desire of our heart that our heart didn't desire previously. And then we even moved away. And the Lord was giving us a desire. Boy, we were talking. We had talked for almost a year. I wonder if we'd ever get to come back. And we had even experienced a winter a few times by then. We still wanted to come back. And so what? We had this desire. Well, that was a work of the Lord in our lives. And so nothing wrong with desires. Nothing even wrong with having a peace. It's just that that's not what drives us initially. Because we know we can have wrong desires. Do you ever have wrong desires? Do you ever have sinful desires? Or am I the only one that has those? So we realize that our desires, these things need to be held in check. We know our flesh is weak. But on the other hand, if we're walking with the Lord, we're seeking to obey His word, we're getting godly counsel, and then God gives us a desire to do something, well, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it because we want to. It's actually God working in our lives, giving us the desires of our heart. So do you see, this verse is not what you use in step number one. Does that make sense? But it is something that God used. You know, when the Lord led me to and Holly to marry each other, we didn't marry each other even though we didn't want to. Well, you know, this person's a Christian and, you know, that's what I'll do. We were seeking the Lord's will. We were trying not to just be blinded by love. And yet we saw, well, God's giving us this desire. We both want to follow the Lord. We desire to each other. This seems to be God's will. And so, of course, we got counsel and went through all of these other steps. But just having the desire, sometimes we can be so pious to think, oh, I want to do something. It must not be God's will, because God certainly wouldn't lead me to something that I would actually like. And that's not it at all. I mean, you read the scriptures. I mean, the Apostle Paul, yeah, he's in prison a bunch, but doesn't he seem joyful? Doesn't he talk about joy a whole lot? The Apostle Paul was doing what he wanted to do, which was exactly what God wanted him to do. So that doesn't mean that God doesn't lead us to some things that are hard, but God does give us the desires of our heart, because if we're walking with Him, He's actually in control of our heart. He's changing our hearts. So conclude with your desires. And then I just put this at the end. Count on God's blessing. You're seeking to follow God's will, and God is giving you desire to do something. Some people are, and again, we're all different personalities, but some people are just, because of their personality, just they never make a decision. And they're just so afraid of ever stepping out and doing anything that they never do. And so if God is leading you and you have counselors that are helping you and you just believe this is the Bible would lead me in this direction and I have a real desire to do this, well, then step out and do it and count on God's blessing. Now, blessing doesn't mean that everything will be successful. Blessing can mean that there'll be difficulty along the way. God has led Holly and I at times to do things that, it was hard. And that doesn't mean we made the wrong decision. When Paul went to prison on a number of occasions, it wasn't, oh, well, God must not, I must not have been God's will because look, I'm in prison. No. But we can count on God's blessing. And so this is the very next verse after the verse we just read. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Him, the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will bring it to pass. So as you step out following the Lord, making a decision, trust in Him. Roll your agenda on Him. That's the idea of the word commit. I think we've looked at this before. It's actually literally the word that means to roll. And it talks about Jacob actually rolling the stone off the mouth of the well. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your agenda, your life to the Lord. And trust in Him. And He will bring it to pass. If you're seeking to follow God's will and God's given you a desire to do something, don't be paralyzed by thinking, yeah, but it may not be God's will. Well, God's not trying to trick you. You're His child. He loves you. He'll provide for you. And here's the prayer that I think you should often pray. Lord, we think this is your God's will. We've been praying about this. We've sought counsel and they all seem to be affirming this. We've looked at your word. We have a desire to do this. Lord, it seems like you just want us to step out here. But if this is not your will, would you please just shut the doors? For instance, as the Lord was leading us here, actually both times we were here, we were praying, Lord, if you don't want us at Meadowlands, have the church not vote us to come in. You could do that. We think this is your will. This is what we really want to do. We'll be so disappointed. But if this isn't what you want, bring something to cause it not to work out. So if you really feel the Lord wants you to take this position and move away, pray all the time, Lord, if we really think this is what you want us to do. We found a good church there. We've got good counsel, all of these things. But Lord, just have the company withdraw the offer or bring something about to stop us. And so pray that prayer. And if the Lord doesn't, then just step out. Just count on His blessing and follow Him every step of the way. God's will is not meant to be mysterious, although we have to admit there's subjective elements. There's not a clear verse of the Bible that tells me exactly to take this position or not, who to marry, what career path should I take, even what church I should join. When there's multiple good gospel preaching churches, is this really God's will for our family? Well, there's principles to apply, but in the end, you know, God's given us a desire to be here. And so we step out and we follow what we believe to be His will. And if the Lord offers a course correction at some point, well, then we bring that and we go through all the steps again. And just this process really brings us closer to the Lord, because all we want is His will. And so let me encourage you. There may be some other steps that you use. Maybe I'm forgetting something. You can afterwards tell me. And that's good, because there's certainly more than six steps, and certainly many other scriptures that we could look at. What I would like to do, we have several Sunday nights where we have some other things scheduled. We have the Lord's Supper next Sunday night. I think the week after that, we have a missionary presentation. Then the week after that, I think we have new members joining. So we have several Sunday nights. But once we go through that schedule, what I'd like to do is just offer some time for some questions. So I'll be announcing that. Maybe I'll have a box where you could write questions. But maybe you'll have some questions about God's will. Maybe it's about like what we were talking about. Or maybe it's God's will about a particular area of life. We could look at God's will for entertainment, God's will and other different choices that we would make. And so we could look at that. So we won't necessarily conclude a discussion about finding God's will. But I knew I had four lessons here altogether in 4 weeks. And so wanted to confine it to this. Much more we can learn from God's word about God's will. But hopefully these will be some principles that will help you in the days ahead. After we close in prayer, in a few minutes we'll be having our meeting. So if you're going to stay and chat, as many of you do, which is wonderful, if you would just bring your chatting out to the lobby or over to Tim Hortons or wherever you're going to meet. But we'll be having our meeting in the auditorium this evening. Our Father, we are so thankful that you are a Father who loves us. And as your children, you know our hearts. And we do just want to follow your will. And I pray that you would lead us. Father, there may be folks in this church that you're going to lead away from us in the next year or so. There may be young people that you're going to lead away to a mission field, to somewhere far away. And that would be thrilling for our church to be a part of that. Father, maybe your will of some major decisions just right here in Edmonton. But Father, as your people, we belong to you. We must do what you want us to do, but we're asking that you would lead us. And Father, we realize it begins with just a daily, hour by hour walk with you. Would you lead us tomorrow? Would you lead us through your word this week? Would we be sensitive to your leading as we pray, as we seek your word, as we even consult other godly counselors, and that we would, in the days ahead, be able to look back and just rejoice and give testimony that you have led in the way that we should go. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, for it's only because of him and what he did on the cross that we even are your children. Amen. Have a good night.